How is everybody doing? Is everybody okay? Enjoying the sun? Bible's upside down. What's the Lord saying there? Upside down kingdom. Oh gosh. Right, thank you, Lord. Right, we're going to go to Matthew. Matthew 26. Verse 17 to 30. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? On the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man that betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not, Rabbi. Not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, or the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So, this is kind of the end of our little series over Lent. We've been doing a series kind of looking at feasting in the Bible. Just to recap, I kicked it off with a talk called A 40-Day Feast, and we were looking at just the idea of what true fasting looks like from Isaiah 58, feeding the poor, sharing your food with the hungry, acts of justice, kind of coming against the injustice in the world. That's who we are in Christ, people who get to spread the kingdom, not just in a weird and wacky way, but through acts of kindness and through sharing food with people and releasing hope over the hopeless. And then we've been looking at the parables that Jesus told, and there's so many parables where kind of at the center of the parable is a table, there's a banquet, there's a party. And it's like Jesus loves partying, and the Christian message is a message of celebration and party, because it's really, really good news. And we get not only to sit down at that table and have a good time ourselves, but which is really important, by the way, that you're enjoying Jesus. But we also get to go out and invite the hurting and the broken to come and sit down at the table. And I thought it would be good to finish, as we're going into Holy Week, with the table that is at the center of our faith. I think it's interesting, isn't it, that there is a table at the center of our faith, and it's the Lord's table. It's communion. It's the remembering of what he did on the cross. He invites us to come and sit down and celebrate what he did on a cross. I love Jesus, and the more, I don't know, I think part of my character that he put in me was just to really enjoy food. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but I don't know why, I love it. And the more I'm kind of going through this series, the more I'm finding out that Jesus loves it too. He loves partying and he loves food. And here he is again with his disciples at the feast to celebrate the Passover. And it's just a beautiful picture, isn't it? You see Jesus just reclining at the table with his friends and doing life with them. And I feel that there's something really important that we grasp there. This is what it looks like to be a part of the kingdom. It's to be sharing our food with one another, chilling out with one another. I think so often we can get so hyper-spiritual and think that we need to be pacing the floor, praying, you know, to really be kingdom people. But here's Jesus around the table with his friends. We did a meal a couple of weeks ago, a curry evening to raise money for Tear Fund. And it really struck me. As we sat down, there was about 18 of us. As we sat down, actually how amazing it was just to share food with people. And actually how there's something on the inside of me, and I hope it's on the inside of you as well, I'm not just weird, that actually craves being around people and sharing food. There's something really wonderful and really almost spiritual about that. I mean, I got to share a bottle of wine with a guy who, he must be about 70, he goes to the 5 o'clock service, and it was just so cool. Like, he brought the wine, I sat next to him, it's a tip for you there, and he doesn't even go to church, actually, he comes to some of our other things, and we just had such a cool time, and, you know, completely different generation to me, but we shared life together. We shared in the presence of God. It was awesome. And here we have Jesus sharing a meal with his disciples. And I think it's amazing that in that context of eating and community, he reveals to them what he's about to do. And in the context of that meal, he reveals the heart of our faith. And he reveals the full extent of his love. It's in the picture of having a meal, bread and wine, that Jesus communicates to his disciples, to us, the very heartbeat of the Christian faith. I quoted this last week, but I'm going to quote it again. It's a quote from Reinhard Bonnke, who's an evangelist. And he says, you know, in religion, and we're talking kind of man-made religion here, we spread the table for our gods. But here we see the actual nature of God is that he spreads the table for his children. And here Jesus sets out this table for us. And I just want to pick out a few things that I think are really significant about the Lord's table and what it means to us. The first kind of point is that we're remembering, and we're remembering our union with Jesus. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. So it's, we're remembering our union with him. And then we're remembering our union with one another. So first, remembering our union with him. When we come to the table, when we come to communion, we are remembering his sacrifice, his broken body, and his blood shed for us. It's an amazing symbol of, we're partaking of what he did. We're receiving of what he did. We're remembering that it was his bruised and broken body that cleansed our iniquities. We're remembering that it was his blood that cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. And we are to celebrate this. I love the fact, again, that this is a meal. It's a celebration. Paul, in 1 Corinthians, calls the cup, you know, the cup of thanksgiving. I wonder how often we truly are thankful for his blood. When do we actually stop and think about what he did? And I just think thankfulness is such a powerful thing. It's such a powerful discipline in our lives. To be a thankful people. To be a people who celebrate. And the thing that we should be most thankful about is the blood of Jesus. Because it is the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from sin. It says this, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And this was Jesus transitioning us from the old covenant, where we were sacrificing again and again the blood of bulls and goats, into his new covenant, where he offered once and for all a perfect sacrifice. He offered it once and for all, defeating sin. And we're to celebrate this. I love it that Jesus chose wine, a party drink, for us to remember what he did. The symbol of his blood, symbol of celebration, because it is truly the very best news that he has forever cleansed us. He has forever dealt with our sin. And he's also brought us into union with himself. We're best friends forever, I tell the kids. We're best friends forever. Because of his blood and because of his broken body, we're now in union with God forever. We've been praying together as a team on Monday mornings. And we were reading John the other day, and we got to the bit, one of my favourite bits of the Bible. And it says, "Because I live," this is John 14, "because I live, you also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. So mind-blowing, isn't it? That we've been included in him. He lives in us. We live in him, and he lives in the Father. You can't get any closer to God because his blood has completely brought you into union with himself. It's mind-blowing. It will take eternity for us to get that, but it's good news, and it's to be celebrated that you are in union with him. And that's what he invites us to come and enjoy, to come and celebrate. He is the bread of life, and knowing him sustains and fulfills us in every way. I love it when I get to give this stuff out. That sounded really, you know, I get to give the wine out. Lord have mercy. Christ have mercy. And I get to say when I give the wine, you know, the blood of Jesus keep you in eternal life. I am, my goodness, by the end, I am so high, because I've just said, in a godly way, I've just said to people over and over again, the truth that you his blood is keeping you in eternal life. And what an amazing truth. What an amazing thing to celebrate, that we're going to live forever. Should make us happy. We're going to live forever. And that's the truth that we drink in and eat in when we come and celebrate together. This table is also there for us when life's difficult. I was thinking about this, and I just wondered, and this is just a John wondering here, whether in Psalm 23, that the table that David talks about, just wonder if it was this table. You know, because he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I just wonder if prophetically David was seeing the Lord lay out a table of bread and wine. Because, I don't know about your enemies, but often the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. I don't know if you ever feel condemned. I don't know if you ever have your past dragged up in your memory. I don't know if you ever feel shame and condemnation. I think perhaps maybe they're some of our biggest enemies. And I think the Lord prepares a table before us of his body and his blood. And he says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I wonder if the accuser drags up a sin and says you're worthless. Well, let me tell you, when he does, that table's there. And the blood that cleanses you from all unrighteousness is there. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I think that it's this table. I think it's that table of communion with him that defeats and silences the lies of the enemy. So it's good. And then it reminds us of our union with him. But it also reminds us of our union with one another. Again, Paul writes when he's talking about communion, he says, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread. You know, we're joined by, you know, billions of people, aren't we, who call Jesus their friend and Lord. And it's this table that unites us. It's his body and his blood that unite us. I love Galatians 3:26 and 29. It says, all of you are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. The worship was amazing tonight, Matt. Thank you. And I loved it when we were worshipping tonight, because I had that scripture in my mind and I was just enjoying being one with you guys, worshipping Jesus. Yes, there was such a sense of we're all accepted here, we're all one. There's no hierarchy in front of the cross. There's no one better off or worse off. Sometimes it saddens me when I hear people say, you know, I know Jesus, but so-and-so, so much, you know, closer to God, or, you know, it's just so much further on. And when the reality is that he's included all of us, there's no one who's got more of him. He gave himself for us all. And when we come to this table, we come as one. And now it might be that someone is perhaps a little bit mature in their faith and they perhaps might realize a little bit more than you what Christ has done. But the facts remain that he's given all of himself to you. And so there's no hierarchy. There's no one who is kind of on the Jesus's kind of star chart, you know. We're all one. And we all get to enjoy him together. There is neither male nor female, slave nor free, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. He has done everything for all. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. It's a place where we know that we're one, that we can serve one another. I think it's amazing that in John, that it was at this supper that Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And I love that verse because it's amazing. It says, Jesus, knowing that all power and authority had been given to him, he says he took the towel and began to wash his disciples' feet. That, I love that, because Jesus knew who he was. He knew his power and authority. And then he took the towel and he began to wash his disciples' feet. And again, it's in the context of this table that we learn to love one another and serve one another and wash each other's feet. Jesus says, in this context, again, he says, a new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I've loved you. It's around this meal that we learn to love one another, to see Christ in one another, to serve one another. It's a place of peace where we can sort out our differences and we can extend his forgiveness to those around us where there's been perhaps broken relationships. It's at this place we're called to, with his grace and in receiving his love and forgiveness, to extend it to one another. This is the place where we can remember him, we can celebrate him, we can enjoy what he's done for us, and we can celebrate and enjoy one another and serve one another. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that Christianity is a party. Thank you that Christianity is a celebration. Thank you that Christianity is a meal. Thank you that we've been invited to sit down, to find our fulfillment in you and in what you've done. Thank you that you've spread a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Thank you that your blood and your body silence the accuser. And Lord, I pray you teach us to love one another, to serve one another, and to invite people to sit down with us. Lord, don't let us stay the same. Lord, keep us moving deeper into your heart, deeper into your love, deeper into this celebration of life and forgiveness.